Ruff. You know, he's amazing. We absolutely love him, and Paul and I have both seen him. You need to book your appointment because Mother's Day is coming up, so how about a mommy makeover? How about doing something and treating yourself? WestEndPlasticSurgery.com is the website. Dr. Ruff is not only great to us, but he is board certified. He's been in business over 20 years. He has amazing reviews. Call him 202-785-4187 and tell him Sarah and Paul sent you. We also have to thank our amazing sponsor, Waxing the City, Alexandria. They also are celebrating moms. With Mother's Day coming up, there is no perfect gift than a pain-free wax. Let me tell you, it was amazing. Go to their website. It's called waxingthecity.com/Alexandria, or you can call them to book an appointment. 703-548-8888. 50% off your first treatment, no matter what. Tell them, "Hey, Frage Podcast with Sarah and Paul sent you."
Love it.
All right.
Hey. Hey.
We about to do this thing.
What's the phrase that you hear every day?
Hey, phrase.
What's the phrase that you hear every day?
Hey, phrase.
What's the phrase that you hear every day? Hey, phrase. What's the phrase that you hear? Tune in, yeah, you gotta tune in. Sarah Frazier on the mic, and she about to begin. A co-host with the most Paul Warren looking fleek.
Take it from me,
you should be listening.
You like that?
I like that.
At his best, no need a second guess, separated from the rest, entertaining nonetheless, many topics to address. Sarah, she's so glamorous, the number one hostess.
Ooh. Hey.
Hey, Paul.
Hey, Fraze.
How you doing, doll?
I'm good, baby. How you doing?
I'm so good. I look forward to Wednesday so much, baby.
Me
it is on.
Too.
You never fail. I swear to God. You know, I have worked with a lot of people in broadcasting, but nobody brings it like you.
Yeah?
I mean, you drop the shit right before we are about to start, and I just sit there going, oh, and you are like, roll tape.
Roll it and count. And five, four, three, two.
Boom. Which story do you want to start with?
Well, as always, I must start with my gratitude. I'm very happy to be here today. I feel
I love
good.
You so much.
I love. Yeah, thank you.
Woo!
Thank you, AJ. Thank you, Irene.
Those are our fabulous interns. You're going to be hearing a lot more from. We should just play a little game. You probably already heard this, though.
Yeah.
So I was going to say we should play a game. Which one threw up on an Amtrak door over the weekend? AJ or intern Irene? Intern AJ. AJ, intern.
I haven't heard this, but I just assume AJ.
Okay.
Irene can keep her liquor down.
You think? Wow! Irene.
Uh-oh.
Irene, the drunk. Okay, we'll play that game at the
end. Okay, cool, cool.
Anyway,
I love it.
I love that you start with gratitude. That's so.
I start with gratitude. But speaking of Amtrak, did I tell you about the first time I met Bill Cosby?
What?
Did I tell you this?
Do you remember it? Well, sorry, it's the first time.
I remember very clearly.
What happened?
What happened was I was on an Amtrak Acela train, first class. In like 2000, okay, or something like it was like in the year 2000, okay.
Okay.
So I've been spending money for a long time. I mean, the train one way was
like
$300.
Years old there, and you were like,
yes, I was 12, and I had a $300 train ticket one way.
Okay? That sounds like right.
So I wore my white Izzy Miyake. Now the reason why, no, it wasn't. It was Comme des Garçons. It was Comme des Garçons. So you know the Met Gala the other day.
Yes.
This year was about
celebrating Comme that Japanese. Garçons. Yes.
Yeah. Rei Kawakubo, okay, who's the founder of Comme des Garçons. She founded it in 1969, a Japanese designer. So this brings me to my Bill Cosby story. Well, I told you when I got into a bar brawl, I was wearing a Comme des Garçons.
What is that? Is that a shirt or is it a jacket?
Well, it's a designer. It's a designer. So
okay. When
I got into the bar fight that I told you all about, remember when the person jumped on my back, he ripped my shirt and my sweater,
yes,
and I was like, my Comme des Garçons. He was like, what you call my mama? I'm like, fuck your mama, motherfucker, my Comme des Garçons. You ripped my Comme des Garçons. So anyway.
So, I'm going to hang out with you more.
Right. So okay. Before the bar brawl, like 6 or 7 years before that, I was on a train
okay. Heading
to New York. It was early in the morning, and Bill Cosby was on the train. We sparked up a conversation. My roommate at the time, her name was Lou Selania Sierra. She's the woman who coaches all of the Miss America people on the pageant.
Oh, okay, okay. Like how to walk, how to do their thing. Okay.
She used to be a big supermodel. you know, with Elite for many years. So we struck up a conversation, and it turns out that he knew Luz Lania Sierra. So
he and I
start talking. We talk. And I actually, this was not 2000. This was probably 2003, because I had done Made on MTV. Because at the time, I was really used to people recognizing me. And I had, it was like my first big thing, you know? And I was like, oh my God, this is going to be so great. So when we got off the train in New York, you can't be recognized if you're with, you know, Dr. Huxtable.
Forget it.
You don't even exist. It doesn't matter how fabulous my comme de garçon, it was white and it was plastic underneath, and on top it was like total, it was wool. I don't know what it was. It was just beautiful. Like a just a white explosion. And I had on my big Dior sunglasses and big curly hair. It was really, really great. Anyway, we get off the train. Everybody's mobbing Bill Cosby for pictures. And back then you had to pull out their camera and like take pictures. You know, shit like that.
Yeah.
You know. Some phones took pictures,
still,
but not really.
You were still using the wind-up.
Like, right, like, exactly. Well, not that. See, you know what? You tried it. So anyway, Bill Cosby says to me, hey, do you need a ride home?
And what?
I swear to God. No, I swear. And I said, sure, of course. Who's going to turn down a ride from Dr. Huxtable? All
right? Oh, my God.
So
you
we walk out. He had a green Lincoln Town Car. We sat in the back seat. And he had his driver there, and he had a phone, like an old school cell phone, in the middle, in the back seat. And he says, does your mother look like you?
Oh, yeah. My God.
And I said, yeah, she does. And he says, let's call her. So we get on, I give the driver my mother's phone number.
He was lining up victims, yes?
We call, she answers the phone, and he says, don't tell her it's me. So I said, okay. So I said, Mom? And she says, yes? And then I was like, I have someone here with me that wants to say hi. And then he's like, so this boy is on this train, on this first class train, in this white coat. And I said, well, wait a minute. You know, when he got off the train, you know, he said, well, everybody used to take my picture. And I said, well, boy, you ain't done nothing to deserve everybody taking your picture. So my mom's like, wait a minute, who is this? Oh, my God, this sounds like, I don't even know who this is, but it sounds like a shutdown. Oh, my God. So my mom is going through all this shit. I'm like, I'm hysterical laughing. We're riding up the road. So finally, she realizes who it is. She burst out laughing. And then, you know, he's asking her all these questions. And
I bet he was.
Right.
Did he have a suitcase? Did he have a briefcase?
I don't remember.
Really?
That part
I don't remember.
Why? Did he carry his stuff around?
He would carry the briefcase filled with Klonopins and all the drugs, the date rape drugs that he would use on women. So he would always have like a briefcase. And like some of the women, the last thing they recalled before they like woke up the next day or like woke up to him on top of them is he would have like he would open his briefcase and it was filled with just like lines and lines of pills.
Wow.
And then he'd be like, oh, here, just take this. You can relax. It's like it'll just take the edge off. And then he like basically
he was holding back on that. I didn't get offered the full service.
Didn't get the rape
but we
vibes.
Got up to his street. He lived on East 71st Street. I think his house was like 18 East 71st Street. And I lived up in Harlem at the time. So we paused there for a while.
Wow.
No, really. And I think he was going to invite me in. I think I was going to see the scene of the crime. I really do. But we waited for a while. I think he was trying to call in the house and see who was there or whatever. And then he just said, oh, okay, I'm going to go in and you can take the car, you know, home. So the guy took me home and dropped me off.
Oh, my God.
And we stayed in touch after that. And he started calling me half-son. He would say, half-son, hey, half-son, yeah.
How long did you guys stay in contact before you, like...
Until the girl came out about him being her father. You know the most recent one?
Oh, yeah. How many years ago was that? That was, like, 2008
was many years after his son died.
Right?
Well, no, we didn't stay in touch that long. I mean, I would probably say a good
two
or 3 years.
Before that, okay.
I think it was before that.
I forgot about the love child.
Yeah, so calling me half-son wasn't exactly good for his situation at home, probably. So, yeah, that's my Bill Cosby story. I have two comme de garçons.
Crap.
The Barbara and Bill Cosby, and both times I barely escaped with my life, right?
Oh, my God. That's amazing, Paul.
That's
wow.
It.
That is...
Good morning.
Good morning. Wow. What to be grateful for. Look, we have so much to get to on this show. I need your advice about somebody who took money from me, then came back into my life, gave me the money back, and now wants to work with me again. And I want to know if you would give this person a second chance or no.
Yeah. Okay.
We also have to talk about the Red Sox player. We were kind of getting into this because you have a interest, not, I, the word interesting isn't even good. Like, You had me so intrigued when you said this because I couldn't believe someone would do this to you. But everybody has been talking about the crowd at Fenway Park that was yelling the N-word to a Baltimore Orioles player, Adam Jones, and he got an apology last night. And then also, of course, a lot of you guys sent us the article about the Baltimore family that now has lost custody. They are the YouTube stars of Daddy 05 that have lost custody of their kids and what the biological mom is saying about the two boys since they've been removed from the home.
All the kids?
All the kids. I mean, this story, can you actually believe that they took action and removed these kids? I can't either.
I don't know that I agree with that, but...
You really?
I don't know that...
I think once I tell you more details that have been revealed, I wonder if you'll agree with it.
I need to know more. Yeah.
Anyway, I want to find out what happened to you this weekend.
Yeah.
And I also want to know, did you see my... This is like, maybe I'm dating myself. Maybe I'm really old. But I'm beginning to think that I don't know the sort of slang, trendy terms that I'm supposed to be using.
Did I heard you see about this from the Tony Perkins show.
Yes, I was a guest on the Tony Perkins show, and at the end they wanted to play this game where myself versus Gary Stein, right? So Gary Stein is like 65. He's really funny, very sweet guy. But, right, I mean, the guys could be easily my dad, right?
Yeah.
So they start saying these terms like they want you to know, they want you to give the definition of what they are for a point, you know, best out of like five or something. Mm-hmm. And I only got like two right. Like, does everyone know what bropocalypse means?
Well, my definition is probably different. Bropocalypse?
Okay, here were some of the words. I was like, okay, I want to see if Paul knows this. Bropocalypse.
That's ending in a good time. I don't know. But, I mean, bropocalypse. That sounds like a good freaking night to me.
Okay, yeah, right? You think, I thought the same thing. It's just a bunch of bros getting together, you know, having like wearing flip-flops. Or, in, you know, maybe getting together and having sex.
What they call it.
Right, or doing a circle jerk.
Yeah.
You know what that is?
Yes.
Okay.
I've participated in many.
Oh, my God. Okay, now, what is a bropocalypse?
Apparently, it's when a bunch of bros get together and get drunk.
Oh, like they all die.
Okay, did I not know that? I had no idea. Do you know what that... Would that have been your guess?
Probably.
Yeah, probably so.
Okay, well, I
mean, it used to be called, like, a sausage fest, right? When you walk into a bar and it was all guys, this is a sausage fest. I'm like, that's good because I'm a meat eater.
Oh, my
God. Oh, my God. Sign me up.
The bropocalypse.
Shit, I'll take it.
Here was another one, dweeting. Do you know what it means to dweet?
Drunk tweet.
Thank you.
I thought it was drunk tweet as well. Apparently not. It's dumping and tweeting. It's when you're going to the bathroom number two and tweeting. It's dweeting.
Let me tell you something. No, I don't do anything while I'm... That's it. Like, I focus on what I'm doing, and I'm out.
Okay, I thought so, too, and I had no idea. Here were some of the other ones, and I don't even know. Do you know what it means to be hundo P?
100%. I'm sure about it.
A hundo P is 100% sure.
100% sure? Hundo P?
Hundo tonight, and it's like hundo P.
Okay, you might have to come right up on the microphone, AJ, because no one's going to be able to hear you.
That's weird.
No, I'm Hundo P.
I say that all the time.
Okay.
Hundo P.
I'm sorry. I've never heard of Hundo P. It's if you totally agree with something, someone says you agree with it 100%. It's Hundo P.
Hundo P. 100%. Okay, cool.
Okay, I had no idea that one went. And obviously, I know what lit means. Like, lit, you're just, like, wasted, right?
Or, just ready to just pop off. You're turned up.
You're turned up.
You're
turned. Okay.
Yeah.
And then if something is done... What is it done to you, mean?
Like over? Like I'm over it?
Well, I thought that's what done meant too.
I'm done,
I'm out, right?
Yeah.
They claim that done is tired of someone's attitude specifically.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Can't face going into work in the morning, you're done with it.
I'm done.
I'm done.
They get it.
Okay, thank you. And then what does low key mean?
Undercover, like low key hating. Like someone that's like on Real Housewives of Atlanta. This comes to mind because I saw Phaedra at Omarosa's wedding.
Oh, yeah.
And she says to Cynthia Bailey when she goes to visit Cynthia Bailey's house for the first time, she says, "You love this house." And it's just like, well, I guess I do. Yes, I do love my house. You know, instead of being like, this house is beautiful. You love this house, don't you?
I just thought this was like, yeah.
That's a low-key hater.
Oh, that's a low-key hater.
Masking what she's saying as a compliment. And you know what I do to low-key haters?
What do you do?
Like when they said,
"Oh, I wonder,
your hair show is curled today." I said, "Oh, thank you, child. Ain't it right? It's everything right. Thank you, baby." And then if they really don't like you, they say, "Well, I wasn't exactly giving you a compliment." I said, "I know, bitch. I just wanted to have you say it out loud. Exactly what you're doing. I know."
Okay, I feel like I was like, oh my God, I think I got the definitions of these correct, and then maybe they just didn't understand it. Bye, Felicia. Isn't bye, Felicia, you're just done with someone?
Sure.
Yeah. Is that it, or is there more to it? Because that, they didn't seem like it was it.
Where bye, did Felicia come from, though? I don't really know that.
Good Friday, right?
Bye, Felicia came from...
Bye, Felicia.
Oh, is that where it came from?
But it just started being used now.
Well, like 3 years ago.
Yeah. Wasn't it from the movie like Saturday or something? Or Friday?
Friday.
Did right,
she just say Saturday? Oh, my God. You know, I am not into this racial shit, but you are
so white. Hashtag Sarah's so white. Yeah, I hear you.
But I
hear
you. Diversity. We got diversity up on here.
Anyway, folks, it was embarrassing. I was a guest host at this party, and then I lost to this 65-year-old guy. I was like, are you kidding me? This guy.
You Googled it all beforehand, though.
Thank you.
He did show prep.
I hope so.
Yeah.
You were out at the White House court. So, you know, while on Saturday night, while I was trying to get, you know, figure out what turned up and lit meant, you were out at a White House correspondent's lunch, right? Or something?
Was that Saturday? I was at the garden brunch on Saturday.
Garden brunch on Saturday. But Friday night, I was low-key...
Stalking.
Low-key jelly, okay? Of your Instagram game.
Yeah.
Because you were on Insta with Andy Cohen, Anderson Cooper. So why were you in Baltimore? What were you doing?
Well, Anderson Cooper and Andy Cohen have a live traveling show called AC2 Live, and they were at the Hippodrome Theater in Baltimore. So Anderson invited the cast members of Real Housewives of Potomac to go out.
Gotcha.
And Charisse was one of them, so Charisse invited me to be her date.
Oh, I love it.
And we went out early. It was so interesting. We went to this restaurant. So I went to Charisse's house, you know, got dressed there. Lots of fun. I had many requests, okay? I'm learning a lot about myself all the time.
Are you?
Many requests. I didn't realize I was like that. I just needed stuff.
Like
I forgot
what?
My toothbrush. I knew I needed that. I needed a Bluetooth wireless speaker for the bathroom for while I got ready. Okay.
Wait, were these demands you sent to Charisse?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. And I needed a glass of champagne and a bottle of water in my bathroom.
Oh,
because
my
I knew
God.
We had limited time. So I was like, look, this is what I need to get ready. If I don't have this stuff, then I'm going to have problems.
Because you had agreed to get ready at her place.
Yes.
Okay.
And then the driver picked us up from there because we was going to be drinking. And then we went out to Baltimore to a restaurant called Charleston, by the way, that was totally beautiful, but super pricey.
Super pricey.
I left there still hungry, and it was a whole bunch of money.
Was the food good, though?
The food was delicious, just very small portions. It's lovely. It's all that. I mean, it's great.
I know, but if you're paying that much, you got to feed me. I need to walk out of there full.
Yeah. So Monique Samuels and Chris Samuels from the show, former Redskins player Chris Samuels and Monique, met us at the restaurant in their fabulous Bentley. Their brand new Bentley is, it's amazing. So Charisse and I sat in the backseat, so that's when I started the Instagram. I did the Instagram.
Yes. Your Insta stories and your Insta pictures
good,
were
right?
unbelievable. Yes.
Yeah, so we rode over to the venue. And then Andy invited us to have tequila shots with him before the show.
Oh, my God.
So we went backstage. So he walks in. He's like, to all the girls. And he's like, Paul! Because, see, I met him way back when I did DC Housewives.
Yes, so he knew you.
And he and I have had a lot of camaraderie over the years, emailing and that kind of, you know, stuff. And I've seen him a few times here and there. And we have a very lovely, kind of fun, you know, gay boy relationship, that kind of thing.
Well, here's what I was asking you over the weekend when we talked, because I'd always heard this rumor about Andy Cohen, which is that when, even though Andy Cohen has made his living really on women and, you know, having these shows about housewives and everything, that Andy Cohen really isn't into women at all, even on a, like, basically, hey, how are you? And I've always heard that he's, like, fine with women until there's a man in the room, and then he could give a shit about the women and is just, like, so into the guys.
Well, I think there's probably two type of men that he probably likes to be around. One that he can kiki with, which is me, and one that he wants to, you know,
have sex with.
To roll around with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sure. So that could be true, what you're saying. It could be true. I think that some of the women probably thought, like, huh, this is odd. I thought that I was going to get the full kiki from Andy, and they didn't get the full kiki.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying?
Gotcha.
But he also invited Kirby, Gail King's daughter.
Oh, yes! because she lives here in D.C.
She lives in D.C.
You know what? We got to get her as a guest on
the
show.
We should get her as a guest.
That's
so if you look on my Instagram from the week before, that rooftop party, that's where the picture with Kirby on the rooftop when I was totally wasted. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I was so wasted. I hope she didn't tell her godmama Oprah on me.
Oh, no, you're fine.
So, yeah, but we had a great time. We did shots. I mean, Andy was getting it in, and he drinks through his whole show. It's so interesting.
Really? For real drinks?
For real drinks. No. They're up on that stage. But let me tell you something about Anderson Cooper.
Oh, what about Anderson?
Oh, Coop pulled it out. Coop was the low-key star of that show.
Really?
You
I believe
don't
that.
Think that it would be Anderson Cooper, Mr. I Can Be Very Serious, CNN. He was so entertaining. He was so damn funny in the stories that he told, maybe because it was unexpected, but it was just phenomenal. I just
really?
Loved it. I just absolutely loved it.
You got to check out Paul's Instagram, Paul Wharton Style, because you had so many great pictures, and it looked like you had a fabulous weekend.
I had a wonderful time. Then I ended up staying the night over at Charisse's, so we had a little, you know,
little fun sleepover,
a little bedtime chat, and it's just so lovely, you know, just to have that moment with her. So, yeah, and the next morning I was up, and then at that garden brunch.
Oh my God, I know, we had such a good time. By the way, we need to thank everybody that came out to Primetime Sports Grill Fairfax. It was such a fun afternoon. I mean,
yeah.
And if you want to see kind of what happened behind the scenes, you can check out on our Facebook page. It's Hey Frage Podcast. There's a video up, and Paul and I crashed a first Tinder date, which, by the way, I got a text from her. She's one of our listeners and a dear friend of mine. She was on a Tinder first date at Primetime at our event, and she texted me 3 hours later, and they were still there drinking.
Oh, my God. I love it.
I was like, okay, girl, go for it.
She was getting a little loosey-goosey with him.
She was.
You think somebody got lucky that night?
I think somebody got really lucky.
That afternoon?
Yeah, okay. I think, absolutely.
The sun was still up?
Right. Anyway, we have to thank Primetime Sports Bar and Grill. They're out in Fairfax. They do a great Sunday brunch, and you can catch all the games there as well. PrimetimeSportsAndGrill.com if you want to know more, or you can follow them, too, on Facebook. It's just Primetime Sports. But their brunch is terrific. They have a great brunch buffet. We had everything there.
Everything.
The omelet bar, sushi, dessert bar. It was delicious.
And those guys have quite a few places around, right?
They do. They're also the owners of Don Tito, mm-hmm. as well as A-Town, and then there's also Barley Mac, too, in Roslyn. So they're in, that's just to name a few. So definitely check out and go visit them at one of their spots, because that was our first drunch.
It was just so great meeting some of the listeners,
I
right?
I know, and you were so sweet. You texted me after, and you said, wow, you said, I love how important the podcast is to so many people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And isn't that great? I feel
absolutely.
Like the bond that we have with listeners
and
is really
great. And
the fact
that they look forward to getting this, you know, this podcast every Wednesday, I mean, it really resonated with me at Primetime there and just sitting and talking with the people.
I know.
And I feel like, because, you know, I'm open to new friends, you know, before my traumatic LA experience, but I'm open again to new friends because I had decided no more new friends. You're right, Drake.
No new friends.
Forget them. But I'm back to new podcast friends, so I'm open to that.
Oh, my God. We loved our podcast friends. So thank you guys so much and for sharing and tweeting it. And hopefully more drunches to come. We'll be working on that. A couple of news stories that happened over the week that I wanted to get, like, all of your thoughts and opinions on. So first of all, the local parents here in Maryland of Daddy 05 have lost custody of their two children. And the mother in the videos is the stepmother to these two boys. And the court did rule this week that they are going to go back to their biological mother. So I wanted to know.
I need a few things.
Okay.
How many kids in total?
There were two kids in total that are the ones that you see in all of the videos.
Okay.
Hold on. I'll bring up this story.
And the only thing that I know about them is what they did in that video, which seemed, you know, low-key abusive. And I'm not playing down child abuse.
Right.
But, you know, as someone that has worked with DC Child and Family Services Foster Youth Division, and I know what some of those kids have gone through to even get into that program, like, that's a little low-key abusive. I mean, you know, making your kid, you're screaming at your kid, cursing at them, and all that kind of stuff, you know, in the hopes of making a great viral video is just a dumb thing to do. You definitely need some counseling. You definitely need some coaching on how to become a better parent. and to work together as a family. However, you got to tell me more for the kids to be taken out of the house.
Oh my God. So much more has come out. So first of all, the parents' names are Mike and Heather, okay? And they're the ones that ran this Daddy-O-5 video, which for over a year they've been pranking their kids and pranking their son Cody, who is 9 years old specifically, and their daughter Emma, 12. Now, Mike has other children, but these are his two youngest kids, and they have been given back to the biological mother after everything that went down. Now, the Daddy-O-5 YouTube page, as we told you last week, has been completely deleted, but more is coming out about them, and their biological mom says that for the first time, the kids are learning to kind of decompress, and okay. She says that they've absolutely been traumatized by this, that they believe at any moment they could be pranked again. Mm. They say that the series of incidents has had a big mental effect on the kids. And that they also called... Now they're saying that some of the videos, which I had never even heard of them, the dad would convince Cody that he was adopted out to another family. And then one video even saw the dad, Mike, pushing him and making him have a bloody nose, ooh, which Mike claims was fake blood. They even at one point take an Xbox of Cody's and they take a hammer to it, accusing Cody of spray painting his room at one point, which was also fake paint. This was even before the ink incident. In many of the videos, it's come forward that Cody is red-faced, crying, screaming, throwing things out of frustration. And in one video, which happened last year, Cody even threatens to kill himself. This is like a 9-year-old kid.
Okay, shit just got real.
In the video, he says, "I hate my life, just kill me," he cries to his father. This was one of the videos. So again, all these have been taken down. At, before the parents lost custody, an online petition had 19,000 signatures to get CPS to investigate the family that live in Baltimore, Maryland, which they have now done. The kid's mother, Rose, has been appearing with her attorney and says that they are now being deprogrammed. I know. I mean, honestly, after you read more and more about them, I don't know. It does seem like they should have lost custody. It seems like they should have, but
there's still a part of me that feels... Okay, like you watch the Kardashians, okay, and I know they're grown, but when they started that show, what, Kylie and Kendall were like 8 or 9 or whatever, mm-hmm. There's all this manufactured drama on there. These people are not the Kardashians, they're YouTube stars, so what, you gotta do what? Up the ante, kind of like Jackass, you know,
right.
Years ago.
Right.
A part of me feels, unless these kids are kind of out of the normal realm, mm-hmm. Like they know that they're in on the joke, right? I mean,
that's
how many
what
times
these
can you
parents
be?
Claim. So the parents, Mike and Heather, have alleged the entire time that the kids always knew it was a joke, that the kids were always in on it. But the videos seem to paint this different picture. Either this 9-year-old kid is like a phenomenal actor.
Which happens. There are 9-year-old kids like winning Oscars.
Macaulay Culkin. Yeah, you're right.
Exactly. Yeah.
Or they're not really forthcoming with the kids about everything that they're going to do. And then they psychologically take them to a point where the kids are like hysterically melting down. And then they're like, no, it's a joke.
Well, I think the kids could know it's a joke, but could also melt down just out of frustration and out of the anxiety
like
of having
I want it to be over.
Oh my God, I have to do more. I have to give more. You know, if I cry, I get a BMX bike or whatever. You know, well, of course, I just did a throwback to like 1982. If I cry, can I get a BMX bike? I mean, yeah, so that may not happen nowadays. But
any guesses on how much they were making annually before they shut the show down?
$300,000.
You're absolutely correct. Every year for the past about 4 years, they've been making between $200,000 and $350,000 annually from the channel.
That is a lot of money for an average family.
Is that not amazing?
Yeah, I don't know what their background is. Do they keep their day jobs too, or just
no? They've been doing this full time. I actually think that she does have a day job. They do say that this prank has been the worst thing that's ever happened to them and that's happened to their family. They've apologized profusely and put out a video, but the court stepped in and they are now done. So
wow.
I don't even know how that family is going to come back from this. I mean, the backlash continues to mount, even though the family has posted numerous apologies on Facebook. I mean, what job are you going to do now? Because who's going to even take your YouTube page seriously? You know what I'm saying? If you relaunch, what could you possibly relaunch that would get anybody engaged?
Well, you can become a couple that helps other parents, you know, deal with their kids. Based on this experience, you know what I'm saying?
I know.
Like after years of therapy, after time, after really truly acknowledging what they've done wrong, they have to give this part up. This won't ever come back around again, I don't think.
It's such a tragic story.
Of course,
story.
Look at our president. You know, you can say the craziest shit and do the wildest stuff, and it can be hateful and hurtful.
And then it can all come back around for
you.
It
all come back around.
Yeah.
So, hey, hang in there.
Hang in there. Also, this was kind of a really sad story, and I don't even know what to say because I can't believe this crap still happens. But one day after Baltimore Orioles center fielder Adam Jones heard racial taunts during a game at Fenway Park, he received a standing ovation from the Red Sox crowd before his first at-bay last night at the game. The Fenway faithful, as well as Redskins players, applauded Jones as he strode to the batter's box, and it was much appreciated, according to Jones. He was very appreciative of the action that was taken, and he says, "I appreciate what the fans did. I have never on the road gotten any ovations or anything like that, so it just caught me off guard a little bit." And he says that I thought it was great. I was telling somebody it would have been appropriate for him to get an ovation, and then sure enough, he got one. So there's no real reason a day earlier that he was getting racial taunts, but they were actually taunting and saying the N-word.
So a lot of people were doing that enough where people could hear all throughout the stadium?
Jones says that he couldn't pinpoint exactly when in Monday night's game he heard the slurs, which he said included the N-word a handful of times. He says he had a bag of peanuts thrown in his direction, although it hit a police officer instead. According to Jones, this wasn't the first time he's been subjected to such treatment at Fenway. This time, though, Jones said he felt compelled to speak out. It was just the right thing to do, he said. It was something that was on my mind. It was frustrating to me. I'm a grown man with a family to raise, so I'm not going to let anybody just sit there and berate me. Mm-hmm. I'm a grown man. Where I come from, you say things like that, you put the gloves on. Mm-hmm. And then you go after it. Obviously, in the real world, you can't do that, especially in my field. So just hopefully the awareness comes. The people around the stands will hold other fans accountable.
Great message.
I mean, great message, but I'm just like...
Can you imagine standing next to someone chanting that? What if those aren't your beliefs?
Me too. I mean, that's the thing is, like, how do you sit there in a crowd and let people say that and not call them out and not have those fans...
So you're there feeling a certain way. You look to your right, you look to your left, you see someone that looks like you, and you feel comfortable enough to chant the N-word. That's so interesting to me. Now, how many times for you, Sarah, walking down the street? Okay, because for me, like, I was walking out of a hotel yesterday.
Yeah.
And there was a group of guys that looked like maybe, I don't want to judge, but I know a little something about West Virginia because... When I was coming up, we used to go to West Virginia every weekend. We had a cabin in the mountains in West Virginia near the Pines Resort.
Okay.
So we'd go there every weekend. So the guys reminded me of the guys I used to see, like, at the general store or whatever.
Sure, when you were out there, yeah, vacationing.
So I tend to not speak first to people like that sometimes out of self-preservation, do you know?
Well, explain what you mean by that.
Well, sometimes when I'm walking around, I'm like, hey, how you doing? Good morning. Good afternoon. You know, like, I'm doing that whole thing.
Right.
Because I just love talking to people. Waving, I give them high fives, you know, asking about their day and all that.
Yeah, you're super friendly.
But there are some people that I judge based on the way that they look, and I'm just keeping it real. I'm being honest. And yesterday as I was walking out of this hotel, the lady who I had talked to, who's the director of sales and marketing, who was, you know, asked me to come there and see the hotel. Someone said bye to me. I went back to say bye to them, and then the guy was like, oh, you have such a cool look. And his friend's like, yeah, man, we want to look cool like you. Like, and they really meant it.
Oh, okay, so they weren't like making
fun
of
it. No, but I had judged that, oh, I'm not saying hi to those guys. They might try to drag me up behind the building.
But I think you have a genuine, mm-hmm. you have to be aware of that because you are a very out there person and you're a gay black man. I mean, that could put you in a lot of danger for a certain group.
What?
But when we started this story, though, before we started the, rolling, you were saying that this kind of brought back something for you because your cabin in West Virginia was burnt down. Was that race related?
We don't know. We still don't know to this day. I tell you, we would go there just about every weekend. My dad gave my mom this cabin, log cabin, for an anniversary gift when I was a kid. And you come in, and there was a big pond, and then you kind of go around the winding road, and, you know, he built the cabin. And we had a basketball court and a hot tub. It was fun.
Yeah.
We'd take our friends there on the weekend. And we left the cabin. It took about 2 hours to get home. I remember this as specifically as like it happened yesterday. We drove from the cabin home. By the time we got home, we might have stopped on the road to eat or something. By the time we got home, there was a message on the machine from, oh, and it was a gated community, too. That was the problem.
Oh, really?
It was like a gated mountain community, okay? So when we got home,
That was a little suspicious.
It was an inside job. So when we got home, there was a message from a very nice lady who, like, kind of was one of the people running the community that said, my dad's name is Paul. Paul and Brenda, oh, we got to tell you there was a fire. And your cabin is, you know, the fire trucks are here and the cabin is basically on fire.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
So, but what made you guys kind of question that it could have been race related? Do you feel like that you weren't really welcome in the neighborhood, or do you feel like...
Well, because the fire inspector said it was arson. They did say it was arson, but we don't know who necessarily did it. So at the time, there was speculation. Could it have been... You know, maybe someone my dad was seeing on the side? Could it have been racially motivated?
Wait, that's an even better story.
Who the freak knows? Oh, yeah, this Paul Horton thing, this didn't just start with me. It's been going on. It didn't start with Junior. It started with Senior.
Really?
He's the original.
Oh, we got to talk about our parents' lives.
Yes.
So, wait, is that how your parents kind of ended their relationship? Is your dad sort of liked other people?
Well, one person in particular, his secretary. So it was like the old school, like,
oh,
you know.
Oh, you're kidding.
The secretary. We've all hopefully moved on. But, you know, I don't really know that you can ever really move on.
Oh, my God. That must have been devastating, though, I feel like.
It was devastating because then he stayed with the woman for a while. And we had to like her. And there was a lot of guilt involved with our mother because, shit, I didn't want to like that lady.
Oh.
Do you know? I didn't want to like her.
So heartbreaking for your mom.
Well, I tell you, yes, I probably should hold this story for another time, but yes. I mean,
no, you shouldn't.
Well, I remember the day, the confrontation, the day that my mother found out and my dad didn't come home the night before. And we had a sleepover. My sister and I had a few friends over, and my mom made us pancakes and a big breakfast. My dad didn't come home. So my mom ended up going to my dad's office.
So do you feel like your mom always had kind of an inkling that something was up?
Well, I can't really speak for her. I mean, I think we all do, right?
Yeah,
like the reason why I pulled out my iPad in New York when the guy was cheating on me and I put it on record and I heard his whole upgrading the tickets to first class with him and his quote-unquote traveling companion.
Yeah, right.
So I knew, even though I had moved there, I knew this. He ain't up to no damn good, you know?
Right.
So there's probably that. When you're sleeping with someone and you've built a life with them, you know when they're acting a little bit different.
Yeah, I know.
And he didn't come home. So shit, he was doing something.
Right,
you know?
Right.
So she went to the office. She saw both of their cars out front. Right.
Oh,
this is the next
mother.
Morning. This is like on a Saturday morning. She goes inside. The shit goes down. Ugh. The woman grabbed an envelope opener and went after my mom. My mom ran to the back of the office, grabbed the coffee pot of hot coffee, and busted over the woman's head.
Oh, my God!
Yes.
And busted over the woman's head.
Holy God.
And
where's your dad?
I think my dad said something like, you could have killed her. And then my mom said something like, well, you've already killed me. You know? Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
So then she comes home, and I remember she was, like, distraught, but she pulled it together. And I remember her going to her room, and I remember later that day, and I must have been about 10 or 11.
Oh, my God, Paul, that's so traumatic.
Later that day, and it was still light, but it was almost dusk, and I looked in her room, and she was laying in her bed. Her bed was perfectly made up, and she was in the fetal position, and I just remember thinking, oh, shit, like, this is not good.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So things like that, I mean, you just remember as a kid. So, you know, when you ask someone like a wife that's happened to, or sometimes when I talk about my dad now, because my dad and I are very, very close.
Yeah, I know you guys are. You talk about your father all the time and very loving.
Very close. We are. He's like, you know, right up there. You know, he's dad. He's one of the best friends. He helps me with my business, the whole bit. And I'm sure he regrets a lot of the decisions that he made. I mean, he said it.
Yeah.
He has said it. And he didn't end up marrying that woman. So it's like the side chicks rarely win because they will cheat on the main chick with the side chick. And then he married somebody else.
Is your mom, is she dating at all now?
Oh, she's married.
Oh, she is married.
She got married again.
Okay.
She got married again maybe 3 years after they divorced.
And they've been married ever since?
Since 1995.
Do you think your mom ever really got over it? Or do you think even though you move on with someone new?
Let me tell you something. My father never did as well ever again without my mother.
Really?
My father was balling out of control when I was a kid.
Wow.
He was a baller, honey. I mean, we've been on the floor at the Wizards game. They were the Bullets then, okay? Since I was like 6 years old. No. This man was rocking and rolling. I mean, several homes, you know, own business, cash, money, cars, the whole bit. But that decision changed the trajectory of his life. It really did.
Wow.
His businesses never
did as well.
Ever did the same. I mean, in like a noticeable difference, a huge difference.
Why do you think that was?
He's never been as happy.
Really?
He's never been as happy. My mom is the one who, your friends are welcome, come over. She's got music going. She's going to make you the best food. She's going to serve it to you in the most fabulous way. And it seems effortless. She puts a lot of effort into it. But when it's time to welcome you, she puts all that, you know, she's not running around huffing and puffing. It's done. You know, you hear the music. It smells good. You can eat. There's always champagne popping. And although my dad is not like a partier.
Yeah.
You know? He enjoyed the fact that the fruits of his labor could be, you know, shared with the family, could be shared with friends. My sister and I saw how to entertain, how to welcome people into our home. She took a lot of pride in her home in terms of the cleanliness of it.
Right.
So the way that his life has been from the side chick, living with her after that, or them living together, to his new wife, who I love dearly, but it's never quite been the same.
You know, my God, can
there's
we
no
them
music.
On?
There's no music in the house. The way, you know, she cooks very, like, regular kind of meals. My mom is all, let's try this. I got this cheese imported from such and such. And I, you know, went to the butcher and got the meat. And I went to the wharf and got the fish. You know, like, she does that.
Wow.
So you taste it. And it's all about the little details. So, you know, I mean, just when you think you want to taste a little something different, or you got to really think about what you have.
Yeah, I know.
That's my lesson.
Oh, my God, that's a good lesson.
Yeah, that's my lesson.
Oh, my God.
There you go.
Oh, I love that lesson. Well, I thought if your mom was single, you know, mine's divorced. She just got divorced. So she's like, ready, I need to find her a new man.
She just got divorced again?
And no, this is her first divorce.
Oh.
Because my dad passed away when I was younger.
Yes.
So,
okay.
So then she remarried my stepfather. Yeah. And, you know, they've just kind of grown apart over the years. And, and a couple years ago, my stepfather basically said, look, I don't want to travel anymore. He owns bowling centers. And he said, I want to focus on the bowling centers. And I have no desire to really go places. And you can go by yourself, but see ya. Mm. So basically,
But he wanted to stay married.
Never really had anything in common. Mm-hmm. I mean, they really did. I think they got married. Andy, who's my stepfather, his wife passed away a year before my dad did of ovarian cancer. Then my father passed away of esophageal and stomach cancer. So I think that bonded the two of them, you know, and I think there was a lot of fear with my mom of being alone, being a woman by herself. Mm-hmm. And I don't, you know, I think she'd been with my dad almost 20 years. I don't think she knew what it was like to live on her own.
Okay.
And so they kind of rushed in and got married. And then really after the first couple years, it was like, oh, you know, they never really, we never blended families. You know, I have two stepdaughters, but I'm not, nothing. I mean, they're very lovely people, but we just have nothing in common. You know, if we weren't connected by that marriage, we would never hang out. You know what I mean?
I do.
You know, just people like that.
I do.
So, and I'm sure they feel the same way about my brother and me, and we're kind of fine with that. So nobody ever connected. And then it just sort of went south from there. And so I'm really proud of her. I'm like,
I am too.
Yeah, because she used to, for many, many years, they'd both been talking about getting divorced, and then they never would pull the trigger. And so I would say to her, okay, Mom, do not call me until you have the papers drawn up and you are ready to sign. Because you have told me about this divorce and you never do it and yada, yada. I cannot listen to this anymore. And then one day she called me and she goes, you know what? We went to an attorney and the papers are drawn up and I'm signing next week and I'm getting divorced. And I was like,
wow.
What? Okay, sis. sister, so she's doing it on her own. And I've never seen her look better. And she's 68 years old, 69 years old. And she's like, I don't care. I don't care if I never meet anybody. And I'm never getting remarried ever again.
Wow.
And if I find a companion who wants to go for hikes and travel, great. But I am done.
I was going to say, sometimes you make the choice to have a lifetime companion.
But
and that's sometimes when maybe the sex isn't spot on or you're not crazy attracted to that person.
Right.
The only issue with that is sometimes they change who they are or what you think they want, even from that perspective.
Right.
So if you think, oh, wow, I'm going to grow old with this person, like he decided, you know what? I don't want to go on cruises. I don't want to travel. I don't want to explore new things. I know all I need to know, and I'm going to go over here and, you know, throw these bowling balls down the alley. You know? And you're like, oh, well, shit. Well, I never really thought you were that hot anyway. I mean, I'm not saying your mom did that.
Well, no, I think you're right. I think, and look, there was more than just the travel thing. But sure. In general, they just had nothing in common, which the thing that brought them together was the death of their spouse. And then once they sort of healed from that, it was like, well, I wouldn't really hang out with you.
Sure, sure.
So it's going to be interesting to see her solo.
Well, it's interesting because I have a friend who I have a crush on.
Ooh.
But it is non-sexual. It's the craziest thing.
This is like this.
A good friend of mine,
okay,
who we went out to dinner the other night, and I skipped all the way home. Now, I don't want to sleep with this person. He's in a relationship with someone else. I have no interest in sleeping. In fact, but I would cuddle with him. I would go on vacation with him. I enjoy his company so much.
Why don't you try it, though? Why don't you try it? Because you
try
might
what?
Become sexual with
no,
him.
No, but he's got a partner and all that.
Oh.
But we really, really, really enjoy each other. And I'm being honest. If it was about sex, you know, I'd tell you, right?
Maybe you should think about being a third person.
Oh,
because I have to tell you, at the brunch. No,
so okay.
At the brunch, at our primetime sports brunch this past Sunday, somebody there said to me, what's the deal with you and Dan? Are you guys in an open relationship? And I said, no, but I always talk to Dan to see if that would work. And he was like, oh, well, you should let me know if that will work. You know who this person is, too.
Okay. I do. Is it a guy or a girl?
It's a guy. And he was like, what? Wait, hold on. I'm turning the microphones down. Wait, hold on 1 second. I'm just going to play this Mariah Carey song for you guys for a second.
And I know eventually we'll be together. What? What sweet day? No. I can't believe that. He's hot.
He's super hot, and he said to me, what's the deal with you and Dan?
So he listens?
No, he said that he just started listening after we went to the brunch, and then I don't even know how we got... Oh, he said to me, what's your deal? Are you like... Well, and this might have been a wrong move, but he was standing there, and then I started scratching his back, and I'm not really sure what he started doing.
Okay, you buried the lead on that one. You should have started with that. Well, I started scratching his back, and then he said he wanted to talk.
And then he did, and he was like, okay, what's your deal? I was like, oh, you know, I'm in this relationship. I've been with my boyfriend for 4 years, and he's like, oh, are you guys like open? And I said, no, but I always say to Dan, let's have an open
but
relationship.
But he didn't want, okay, now let me just clarify something with you. That doesn't mean that he wants to be a part of a threesome with you and Dan. That means that can you step out on the side with him?
Oh,
that's all that means.
That
are you in an open relationship?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because other than that, I would be pretty pissed off because he's never asked me to do anything. Asshole.
Oh, my God. Hey, I saw this father and son picture. I want you to know this was circulating on the internet this week. Do you think this is inappropriate or hilarious, okay?
Okay.
So this was the father and son when they were little, right? That's the picture. Then they reenacted as grown men. What do you think?
That is not right. No.
Now, look. Now, the dad is wearing boxer shorts. Now, the son is
I'm
not.
Very uncomfortable with this. That is horrible.
Also, why do you look like that?
If I ever, you can be assured that someone gave me $10 million. No, there's no way.
You're not a million.
You're
not hopping into a bathtub with your dad?
Not even a million, no.
Just to give you a little, wow, you were really shocked by
not
that
Not a
one.
Million, no. This is horrible.
So, you know when you were like a baby and you would take a bath with your parents? Which, by the way, I always thought that... Don't you think that bathtub pictures with your kid is like so inappropriate? I'm sorry. Even when your kid's
I can interrupt you. My penis is going to be flaccid for a week. I can't even... Irene, I need water. Somebody go get me a Patron Gimlet. I'm not even drinking right now. What the hell? Oh, my God. I'm horrified. Sorry. Continue.
Okay, here, I have a real pet peeve when it comes to kids, and I don't have kids, and I'm sure many people listening have this like, picture, right? But there is something about putting your baby in the bathtub with you naked that is just so inappropriate. I don't care if it's a dad with the son, a dad with the daughter. It's so inappropriate, okay? Why are you taking a bath naked with your baby, okay? I think it's so strange.
I don't really mind it with the baby.
Well, it's weird, though. It's weird.
Well, one of my friend's husbands, he's German, and he would shower with the three young girls.
Okay, yeah. No.
And
hell
he did
no.
it until they were like 10 or 11.
What? Yeah. Okay, that is inappropriate. No.
Because in his family,
hell
like, that's what
the
they
no.
do.
What?
I don't think there was anything untoward going on. There was nothing, like, odd happening, but, I mean, it looked crazy to me.
Oh, my God.
I've never seen my mom naked.
Okay, well, obviously, I've seen my mom naked, but, like, my dad would never... Yeah, girls...
What?
I've never seen my dad naked.
Irene,
I saw my dad naked all the time.
Irene, you saw your dad naked? Get up here on the microphone. How until what age? Like, did you, okay, these they are from California. Maybe it's a Maine thing.
I went to the gym with my dad when I was a kid, and I saw him once naked and was like, oh my God, this is horrible.
No, yeah. I mean, he was our stay-at-home dad, so like he would, you know, like go to the take a shower and walk to his room, and like it wasn't a big deal. Like, I'd see him naked.
And you know, it's probably not that big of a deal.
Okay, maybe I'm too modest when it comes to kids.
I'm sorry, my breath smells like shit.
Oh, God. I just read an article about that. You should get that checked out.
Hummus?
She just ate. Oh, you just ate hummus. I only heard her say her breath smelled like shit. I read an article because, you know, I'm always trying to work on myself.
Yeah.
And it was just.
I read an article about sticky breaths.
No. I've read an article. It just popped up because I was looking for recipes for my Nutrimix or whatever that thing is I have. Vitamix or whatever.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So I was looking for recipes because I'm always looking for stuff. Like, I'm like, I want to mix things up that make, you know, my skin better. And my digestion better. And anyway, they were saying like all the reasons why if your breath is really bad, like all the shit that can be wrong with you is some scary shit.
Really? Like what?
Well, of course, the normal.
I know some people with some serious halitosis.
The normal so dental stuff, you know, they said you know your molars can go bad and all this kind of stuff, and then they just talked about just a bunch of digestive issues and the gases that back up from your, you know, from your intestines.
Do I ever have bad breath? Would you be honest?
Not
with
to me?
Me,
I would tell you.
Okay, good, because you know there's some people that work at Fox. They have the most rancid breath I have ever smelled in my life, and I swear to God, I just get near these people and I'm like.
Do you think that people don't brush their tongue? Because I brush my tongue and the sides and the top, like, really.
I think that's it. I think these people that have really horrible breath at Fox, like, they just don't get in.
And they don't floss also, right?
How do people not floss?
I don't know. I enjoy it. It's part of my ritual.
Yeah. Don't you feel not clean if you don't floss? Like, I got to get all that out.
Especially when something comes out and you're like, oh. Shit. If you skip the day or something and then that thing comes out and then it's like, oh my God, that's a piece of roast beef. Oh my God, I've been walking around like this. I'm a Neanderthal. You know what I mean?
Anyway. Needless to say, this picture is disturbing. It's a dad and his son in the bathtub when they were little, and then they reenacted it when he was older. This thing's been shared like 26,000 times on Facebook, and people are not.
I'm horrified by it, but I love that they are that close and the smiles on their faces. I mean, that part is cool. It's not my thing. I would never, ever, ever do it. But I love the father-son bond.
Oh, Mike, I'm totally with you. Yeah. One of our listeners, Mike Scott, sent us this story, and it's actually how to surround yourself with good people by using just these 12 questions. I'll just give you a couple of them, and then you can tell me if you think this is a good idea as far as trying to find the right people. So here are the top five, okay? If you want to surround yourself with just good people that have... You know, their good intentions and your good intentions at heart. Is this person self-aware? Self-awareness is the key to success and happiness. You agree with that?
Yes.
So if the person is self-aware, see, that's what I love about you.
Yeah.
The self-awareness, and I think, too, like, sometimes when people might meet you or they don't know you, they might think, well, this guy just thinks he's so full of it.
Yeah.
But you're, like, completely, you're always checking in with yourself about self-improvement. And I feel like that's how you and I get along so well.
Because
I try to do that, too. I never want to be about ego. You know?
Absolutely. Like sometimes even when I respond to a text of yours, like this morning you said something and I didn't say good morning, so like, instantly, instead of like knowing that, I just try to fix it. Like I'm always,
yeah, you're always,
you know,
so good that
way. You responded and I said, oh shit, I didn't say good morning. So then I'll always hit you with like a good morning, you know, because I want you to know like that's on my mind, but sometimes I'm just moving.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Does this person feel authentic to you?
Mm-hmm.
Few things are worse than being phony and phony praise. We've all been in situations where the presentation feels over the top, even staged. Good people do not feel compelled to tie themselves into knots in order to impress others. You agree with that?
Huh. That was a lot. Yeah.
Sort of. You don't seem as convinced on that one.
Well, you know what it is? I feel like, and I know there are fake people everywhere, I really do, but for one thing, how fake they want to be is none of my business. Do you know? Like, I don't spend my, you know, you see these people with these passive-aggressive Instagram posts, you know, and if you fake in my life, you will be found out, and I do not have time for this, and I, you know, it's just like, who the fuck is that? You do have time for this, because you just posted that. Like, so you do have time.
You
like,
got plenty of time.
You know, so for me, I think calling someone else fake is a judgment, you know? I can notice certain things and acknowledge things about them like, huh, that's interesting. But how fake they are, who am I to say how fake they are? I know one thing I can do, not move forward with them in my life.
There you go. That's a good point. I mean, I feel like you can tell phoniness immediately. Just people that are so, I don't know, yeah, that are trying too hard or just want to impress you or just, yeah. I understand what you're saying, though, but... that is annoying when people are not genuine. What is this person's talk-to-listen ratio? Many of us find ourselves so self-confidence intoxicating. We find self-confidence intoxicating, but we should be careful if a person talks more about themselves than they do listen.
Mm-hmm. Right? I agree completely.
Number four is this person an energy giver or an energy sucker? Oh, my God. Do you have those friends in your life?
I do, too.
That suck. And no matter...
Not for long.
I know, you get rid of them.
Yeah.
See, I'm sort of in this spiral. I have some that I've been friends with for years, and I'm just like, I don't know.
Well,
I never can know, like, do I toss them aside from that?
Well, what bothers me, and I think you know this, because in the work that we do, it's you're constantly putting out so much energy. It's just energy in it. I'm putting this out. Whatever. And sometimes you go and you sit down with your friend for a cocktail, and they're like, okay, I want you to tell me all about this and tell me all about that, and you're like, bitch, I didn't know I had to do a stand-up show and I got to buy the fucking drinks. I mean, it's just like, I got to pull out my damn credit card and do a stand-up show for you. Bitch, I'm tired. And so sometimes, I could have left the bitch out, but that's how I really feel. No, this just happens. You know, sometimes people will say that I've just met, and unfortunately they get this part of me too because it's keeping it real. They'll say, oh, tell me about yourself and tell me all about you. And I'm like, you know what? If I say my name one more fucking time today, I'm going to vomit. I don't want to hear it.
You don't want to talk about me.
I don't want to talk about it. So sorry, you caught me. I'm at the end of my rope with this Paul Wharton shit.
But that's good. You're honest.
About it. Well, I'm my own business. So, like, I got to talk about me all day long. You've been in my office.
Yes.
You know? You think if you walked into Whitney Houston's office, she'd have a picture of another bitch on her wall? No. I'm everywhere. But that's how I eat. You know, off this Paul Wharton-ness.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean I want to talk about it all day long. When I go to the bar, I mean, let's talk about boys, sex, you know, good times. I don't want to talk about Paul Wharton.
I love you. That's good self-awareness. And number five on the list, there's several more, so you can check out the list. It's on observer.com. What is the person's spouse or partner like? We're known to be the company we keep. If you're considering hiring an important employee, invite the candidate out to dinner with his or her spouse. That'll tell you a lot. I think that's really, really interesting. If that partner is obnoxious, if they don't seem genuine, or they don't have good qualities that you're looking for, the person's married to them. So I would think twice about surrounding yourself with them. That's interesting, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Do you judge people by who they're with?
Why do you keep Dan and I apart? I've only met Dan once at a live show. You never have us go to dinner. You say you want to be clinged on to somebody all the time, but yet... you keep us apart. Why? Why do you do this? You think I'm going to make a move on your man or something?
I would love if you made a move on my man. I swear to God, and maybe, probably I'll find Dan, like, hooking up with some guy, but I swear, I feel like he is so straight. I'm like, can't we do anything that could just be questionable? Like, I try to put makeup on him, and he gets so upset. Oh, my God.
Do you ever twiddle your...
No, he won't. No backdoor fingers. I can't even, like, so now, you know, of course, I always try to just, like, when he's not looking at, like, I poke his butthole to just, like, try and he hates it so much. And then I always always give him all these scenarios about... I can't remember how we got talking about this, but anyway, about if he would ever, like, try my underwear on or anything, and he's absolutely mortified, and he refuses to speak to me. He always is like, okay, time to go to work, see ya, and, like, he'll just leave. I'm like, what would you ever, like, he's so straight.
So you were telling me that he's not clingy enough, right?
He's not clingy enough, no.
But you seem so independent, like you wouldn't be, oh, I'm Sarah, hear me roar, I want my own space, but... In reality, when you go home.
Well, you want to talk about psychology and, like, therapy? Okay, so when I grew up, honest to God, my parents, before my dad died, they really only hung out with each other. Like, my mom came from a big family, and she was very close with her sister. She was very close to her parents and her other siblings. But I wouldn't really say my mom... she was super active in the community, but she didn't, like, have, like, best girlfriends that she hung out with. She and my dad hung out all the time. Mm-hmm. And then, therefore, we all hung out as, like, a family unit all the time. Every weekend, like, my cousins would come or whatever, but it was always hanging out with my mom, my dad, 24/7. Mm-hmm. Okay? So that, to me, is what, like, a good family unit is, right? Because that's what I grew up with. But I don't think Dan sees it like that. Like, he wants his Dan time. He's got his bro guy friends that he likes to go with. And I'm like, but see, I could just be your best... Like, we could just be best buddies, and that would be, like, it.
Really?
Is that, like, too clingy?
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, I have good
You want to be his everything.
Yes. And did I...
That's so weird.
I probably never told you this, but, you know, like, a couple years ago, I've dumped Dan many times. Like, we've gotten back together and we fought, and, like, I break up with him all the time and then get back together with him because I ultimately am really in love with him. But one of the times that I broke up with him, I was like, am I your best friend? And he actually had to think about it. He's like, I don't know. I think maybe it would be you or my brother. And I'm like, okay, I am done,
But
bitch.
Do you have to be?
Yes, you have to be. Yes, your significant other should be your best friend. He tells me no, and I'm and
says
I
says who though?
I'm out of here.
Says
I
was, who?
I packed it up.
Says who?
Says you? Me. I think you need to be best friends with your significant other.
Huh? Interesting.
Because after it, all the sex, all that goes away. If you don't have your, if you guys aren't tight like best friends, what do you have?
Huh? I guess you don't have much. Well, the interesting thing, you know, I'm really interested in talking about the fragility of relationships, of friendships. You know, you can be so close.
That's the truth.
You can be so close with someone. You can share these extraordinary adventures. You can travel the world. You can go through people and their family dying or, you know, your relationships breaking up. And then you have a little moment with someone.
Yeah, and that's
a little moment where they're feeling insecure or you didn't say quite the right thing, and then the bitch goes ghost. I mean, and I'm speaking from a real situation, and I really try when someone, I take this from Maya Angelou, because Oprah says this all the time, when someone shows you who they are, believe them. You can have all of these experiences with someone, and I've done this with someone recently. You can love them to the ends of the earth. You can travel to find them when they lose loved ones and all that. I did all this. I did all that. You can sit on the phone with them all night long and listen to their shit, you know, and be an open. One thing that you don't agree with them about, and they're like, they go quiet.
Right.
And then the texts don't, you know, they're not really responding to your text. And then you're just kind of like, well, what the fuck was I? Am I your yes man? Because I'm not that guy.
That's a good point.
I'm not that guy.
But
so,
don't you think it comes down to this? Because I think in life, I think this is true of marriage. I think this is true of partnerships. I think this is true of friendships. Don't you think very few last the test of time? I think most times people come in and out of your life at different periods of your life when you guys are meant to be together. Friendships, partnerships. That's why I think marriages in general don't really work.
Sure.
Because I don't think it is so tough. And to me, like, I thought this was very interesting. I was, when I went to Maine the last time I was up there, we had my two cousins. They just have newborn babies. We kind of had, like, a girls' day. All mm-hmm. the moms came and everything. And we did this sort of poll. We were asking all of my aunts and some of my cousins, if you had it to do over again, would you marry your husband? And not one of them was like, absolutely yes. Not one. They were like, maybe.
Yeah. But
because I think it's so hard. I think it's just, we're not designed like that, I don't think.
Well, maybe people should get married, but maybe marriage should be thought of in terms of phases. You know, like they say, you know, the honeymoon, and then they say newlyweds. Of course, there's a reason why the first year, because it's all hot and sexy the first year. And then, you know, you move into different phases, and then you have the raising the family phase, and then you have the empty nest syndrome phase, and then it's kind of like, okay, this is what you should be expecting, because it's not always going to be hot and heavy like it was when we were engaged and newly married.
Yeah.
Right?
And I just think people aren't, the part that drives me nuts is I feel like people are not self-aware. Mm-hmm. They're not in touch with their feelings. They don't do check-ins. Like, I love where you and I are both in that, like, great mindfulness. You know, we're always trying to work on ourselves and think about, like, other people. But a lot of people that I'm friends with and I know, they're not into that. Mm-hmm. They're not there in that place. They have a ton of hang-ups from their past that they don't want to, you know, address. And then you just begin to go, okay, how long is this friendship going to last? Or is this relationship going to last? Like, I'm sure you've dated tons of people that the minute, like, you get in it and you start peeling away the layers, you're like, all right, this person has never dealt with all this shit. This is going to come back.
Absolutely. And it just still amazes me when you're in a relationship like that with some, like, dating someone and, you know, at night, you're just laying in each other's face, and oh, and what are your dreams and what are your hopes? Oh, I'll be there for you. I'll lift you up. You show up late one night for dinner. That motherfucker. I mean, you know, and it's just kind of like, wait, what about all that great stuff? And then you break up, and then they block you on Facebook. And then, you know, it's like they're so mad. And I've just never been the type of person to be that angry with any of my exes, even the one that cheated on me in New York.
Yeah, you're kind of like, okay, yeah, it hurts, but you move on.
You move on. And I'm just like, child, well, let the next one have to deal with you, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm fine with staying friends, and I really mean it. And I don't, like, double back and, like, you know, come over tonight. I mean, because they were never that good in the first place. That's the real read. You know, they weren't knocking my socks off in the first place.
Yeah, so bye.
All right. See you.
Oh, my God. See you later. There were two quick stories I wanted to get to before we... I want to talk about yours. You were talking about this, the guy that got 40 years in prison for...
In Georgia. So there was a man who threw boiling water on a gay couple, and he just got sentenced to 40 years in prison. So a jury has convicted an Atlanta truck driver accused of pouring boiling water over two gay men as the couple slept in February. The jury deliberated for about 90 minutes Wednesday after finding Martin Blackwell guilty of 8 counts of aggravated battery and 2 counts of aggravated assault, according to the Associated Press. Blackwell was sentenced to 40 years in prison. He's 48 years old. He's a truck driver. Apparently, this man dated a woman who had a gay son who had just recently come out to his mother.
Oh, my God.
The man, one of the gay men was dating another gay man for 6 weeks. They were in the mother's house. Now, this truck driver, who's basically like a transient, he would come to this woman's house, who was probably a desperate woman. I hate to judge this lady, but she's got this truck driver coming in and out of her house whenever he's in town, the article says. So whenever he's in town, okay, he comes to the house. So the woman's son is sleeping there on a mattress with his partner. The man sees that. He goes to the kitchen. He fills a pot of water. Oh. He sets it to boil. The water's boiling. As they slept, the man pours the pot of boiling hot water over these two men. Okay? Blackwell, a long-haul truck driver who stayed at the house when he was in town, people, came in and saw the two unconscious men lying next to them. He went to the kitchen. He got the water. And then he says to the police, I woke up. Oh, no, this is one of the guys saying this. I woke up to the most unimaginable pain in my entire life, Tolbert says, one of the men, sobbing frequently during his testimony. I'm wondering why I'm in so much pain. I'm wondering why I'm wet. I don't understand what's going on. So then the guy says, Martin Blackwell, he says to the police, they were stuck together like two hot dogs, so I poured a little hot water on them and helped them out, he said to police, according to the incident report. They'll be all right. It was just a little hot water.
Oh, my God.
Horrible, evil person who didn't even have a home to call his own, who, by the way, told these two men after he poured the boiling water on them, get out of my house. What are these women saying to these men to make them feel like they are the king of the castle when they're not the king of the MF castle?
It's a good question. Did she say anything in the article, the woman that actually owned the home? And was this was her son?
This was her son.
Well, what the hell did she say about him, this truck driver, transient asshole?
No comment. I mean, I don't see anything from the woman. Of course, I'm sure she's horrified because both the men suffered damage to their face, neck, back, arms. One of them has to wear a compression garment over most of his body for the next 2 years. They're both in physical and emotional therapy weekly, right? I mean, it's just absolutely awful, but I'm just really interested because you see a lot of these women who bring these men into their lives.
Yeah.
Why is this man coming to your house? Like, come on, lady. Get a man who you can go to his house. This is a long-haul truck driver. You really need some dick that bad that you would let this fool come into your house. Ain't you ever heard of candy-coated nights in the candy factory? Get you a good dildo. I'm sorry. These people have to put family first and put their children first, so I'm sure.
Yeah, because, you know, a guy that has that much hatred in his heart, this isn't, like, the first thing that's come out.
Hello.
Like, you
preach.
Know.
Preach, Sarah.
Yeah. Okay, I will.
Okay. No, but, I mean, this has come up before.
Oh, absolutely.
He's my son. I love him no matter what.
Yeah, this guy
what.
Probably is using the F word and calling him a,
absolutely.
You know.
And when people say, oh, I would love him. No, I don't mind. He's still my son. I still love him regardless. Regardless of what? Like, is that a reason not to love someone because they're gay? Like, you need to fix it, Jesus, all the way with some of these people. Because they try to fix it a little bit. And then things like this happen. Because this woman has never really stood for her son in the eyes of this Martin fool. So he thought he could come in, go to boiling some water and pour it on these men. I'm horrified by this.
Well,
so
thank God he got 40 years. Wake up.
I don't think it's enough. I think they should have poured some boiling water on his ass. You know?
They should have.
Yeah. He was funky from his trip. You know, he was smelling kind of funky when he got off the road as a truck driver. So, you know, I just poured some hot water on him. I mean, he'd be all right at just a little hot water.
That's the truth.
Hey.
I didn't realize you were in a capital punishment. Look at you. Hey, have all your friends on Facebook, last story here, have all your friends on Facebook been posting and playing the concert game?
Oh, I'm so done with that. I'm so done.
Yeah. Everybody, if you don't know this, I'm sure you've seen it all over your feed. Essentially, people want you to post 10 concerts you've been to, and one of them is a lie, right? Well, security companies, online security companies, are coming out and going, don't fall for this. Don't play this game. Because many times, one of the security questions for your credit card, for your bank account, is what was the first concert you went to?
Right.
Or name a concert you went to.
I've seen that before.
And essentially, you giving people a guide to go in and potentially hack your security.
Absolutely.
Duh. Which, of course, I didn't even think of. I almost played the game. I was getting so annoyed with everybody I know on Facebook that posted. I'm like, all right, well, let me go through what concerts. I don't even know if I've been to 10 concerts.
Yeah, I don't know that I probably have. Yeah.
Yeah, me too, but barely. I was like, oh shit, what if you don't have 10? Can you play the 8 concert game?
Right. Yeah, I'm overseeing that on everybody's timeline. I mean, it's too much.
I know, it was too much. But anyway, so don't do it. You're going to be getting a notification. I know.
Okay.
The last thing, too, I wanted to talk to you about is I need your advice on this. So I had a woman in my life who helped me out. She did some service things for me. And about a year ago, she was supposed to do some work. And I had said, you know, I'll just PayPal you the money and you do it when you have time. Crickets. Never heard from her. Texted. She was supposed to come over to my house and bring me some items and all this stuff. Nothing.
Okay.
I'm texting her and I'm going, hey, you know, I have to, like, after numerous texts. And then she would say things like, okay, I'll be there on Friday, I promise. You know, so sorry. I've just been really crazy. Okay. All right, fine, fair enough. Friday would come, nothing. So I finally just texted and I said, hey, look, I'm so surprised that you would do this because we've been friends for years. We've worked together as well for years. And the fact that you would take this money and then never follow through, and here it is 3 months later, I'm just really disappointed.
Is it?
Crickets, never heard anything.
How much money, by the way?
Like $200.
Okay, yeah.
Would you even bother with that?
I mean, no, that's funny. Uh-oh, I'm being a bad influence on the interns. Chump change. No, I mean, I think it's the principle, right?
It's the principle, right? And I've done a lot of business.
But she acknowledged that, and she gave you back the money?
So fast forward, okay, this is like a year ago. Fast forward 6-7 months, I get a message, an email, a very sweet, apologetic email saying, look, I was going through some mental health issues. I was depressed. I really should have come through for you, and I really didn't, and I feel felt terrible, and I'm going to repay you this money on Friday. And I know you'll probably never want to speak to me.
I love it. I love it.
So this person did. She paid me back the money, and I wrote her back, and I said, look, I would never hate you. I would never wish you harm. And I said, you know, it was really unlike you, and I wish you told me you just weren't feeling well, but I understand if you're really in the depths of depression, you probably can't even type that. So
yes.
I completely understand. I'm so sorry. You know, let me know if I can do anything to help support your mental wellness, and don't even worry about it. So pays me back the money, all good, right? Then I get an email like a couple days ago asking if I would ever consider working with her again.
Yes.
So my question is, what do you think? Should I?
Let me tell you something about this lady. She owned it. You know?
Okay.
She owned her shit, and she did her best to make it right. And, you know, in terms of money, because money is fluid, okay? So you need it, you take it.
Mm-hmm.
You can give it, you give it, you know, and you keep that cycle going around. You know, if you've earned it and somebody pays it, you know, you take. So, but sometimes there's a little blip. Sometimes you need more than what you have, or, you
right.
know, and we get caught up in these things, and there are mental health things. So I'm going to just keep it just super simple with this. I'm living right now with love, with faith. With gratitude, and most of all, the thing that changed my life completely is not looking back, and not having regret and guilt, but I am living in total forgiveness. So,
wow.
You forgive this woman, mm-hmm. okay? You will mm-hmm. be all the better for it. You can choose whether or not to move forward with her together or on your own, but forgive her, and then the answer will come to you.
Oh my God, I love that. That's great advice.
Forgive her. Love. Faith, gratitude, forgiveness.
Oh my God.
And there you go.
Seriously, you are like channeling Mariah Carey in One Sweet Day today.
Always be there.
You have a Debbie Allen dance party coming up, right?
I sure do. Friday night. Debbie Allen at City Dance Dreamscape. It's at Lincoln Theater. You can still get tickets. They're a great price. There's a few more tickets left. Go to citydance.net. And I am hosting the after party with Debbie Allen, the Debbie Allen and Paul Wharton Fame after party. Friday. Actually, it's Saturday night.
Oh, it is Saturday night?
Saturday night.
So not this Friday night. It's Saturday.
It's this Saturday
the
night.
Sixth.
Saturday the 6th. And for tickets to that, go to citydance.net. And hey, if you're a podcast listener and you get tickets to the gala, let me know and I'll invite you to the after party. You can hang out with me and Debbie, right?
Oh my God, absolutely. You can follow Paul Wharton Style mm-hmm. on Instagram, Paul Wharton on Facebook, Paul
right.
Wharton Style. It's Paul Wharton on Twitter,
it's
right?
Paul Wharton on Twitter, yeah.
Paul Wharton on Twitter. So tweet Paul if you
yeah.
want to, or PaulWhartonStyle@yahoo.com is his email if you want to.
That's right.
If you buy a ticket
and the tickets are just $25 and $38, and you know, it's going for a great cause. To keep kids dancing in the city that can't afford these programs.
Oh my God.
Now I'm about to hit my part right now. Lay me down. I want to say something to you, Sarah.
What, honey?
You will always listen as I pray. Yeah. Yeah. I want to thank you.
Oh, I want to thank you, baby.
Yes. Like so many. Woo.
I can't hit one fucking note.
Yes, I know. Oh. All right, we love you guys.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Hey. Follow us on social media.
Yeah.
At Hey Freeze on Twitter and Instagram. Hey Freeze Podcast. Check out our videos.
Mm.
Okay. We have to thank Teddy B.
See you in Julie.
Oh, my God, I used to love this song. When did this come out? 2000?
I love it. Great day, baby. Love you.
Love you, too. Bye, everybody.
Woo. Bye, guys.
Hey, phrase, what's the phrase that you hear every day? Hey, phrase, what's the phrase that you hear every day? Hey, phrase, what's the phrase that you hear? Woo! Tune in, yeah, you gotta tune in. Sarah Fraser on the mic, and she about to begin. A co-host with the most born one looking fleek. Take it from me, you should be listening. Live from the nation's cap, pop culture at its best. No need a second guess, separated from the rest. Entertaining nonetheless, many topics to address. Sarah, she's so glamorous, the number one hostess.